We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
He's Stephen Graham, and he's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
All right, first things first, you're going to have to bear with me here a little bit. I don't have much of a voice after getting sick over the weekend. Oh, boy. Like so many in the music scene, Stephen grew up listening to 107.7 The End. Like so few, he ended up hosting a show here. Oh, Mr. Graham. Stephen first put his name on my map with a ton of work in the Everett music scene before joining Pepper, our former Locals Only host. He joined as a co-host. Now he's running the show. Let's stick around and see who he is. Dude, I've known you for about 100 times longer on the internet than I have in person, and that's where I first came across this Everett music scene that's going on.
It's weird how that works, huh?
Get up on there.
It's kind of weird how the whole internet thing...
Yeah, social media. I know so many people via that and have sat down so few times, like, flesh to flesh with you here and been able to just hang out and talk about it. It doesn't help that we're on totally different schedules and, and our...
They only let me in here on Sunday nights, typically.
I just found out they don't even give you a key card. That is rude.
No, I have to ask a lot of people so I can get through from this door to an elevator to that door just to get in the studio to do a show for free.
they do send you a guy to push all the buttons and stuff for you, so you don't have to think about it.
What
which
up,
is
Tim?
Nice. Hey, Tim. Shout out to Tim.
Appreciate your help.
Tim's rad, man. I see him in here doing weird stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I don't really know you at all, which is kind of cool footing to start off on. Are you originally a Seattle Everett guy? Are you from here? Are you rich here?
So I've been in Everett since I was in about the fifth grade.
Okay.
Start out in Salton, which a lot of people know is that place they stop to get donuts on their way to Stevens Pass.
Oh, yeah.
But that
sounds delicious.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Did you run the donut shop there?
No. Actually, my grandmother worked at the Salton Bakery for quite a while, though.
Salton Bakery.
Yeah, that's the spot.
Oh, man. I've been up to Gold Bar to do some hiking up there. Is that
I spent a little time living in Gold Bar next to Wallace Falls, which is probably where you went hiking.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting married in Gold Bar.
Oh, really?
Hey, congratulations to you as well, sir.
Hey, we're both engaged.
Yeah, that's right. Nice work. That was really white guy miss high five there, yeah.
So you're going to get married in Gold Bar?
Yeah, my grandparents have 5 acres kind of out in the sticks, and so we're going to throw a party out there where we don't think any neighbors will be bothered by our shenanigans.
Oh, dude, cool.
Yeah.
I'm doing it it's awesome, but also kind of dumb. I'm flying all the way out to Atlanta.
Okay.
So that means I don't have to bring everyone with me, which is also nice.
Yeah.
Just a few people. I don't have to make hard decisions on who gets to go and who doesn't.
I'm doing the hard decisions thing right now. Everyone has their opinions.
Yeah. Well, and then you have to decide. Like, you're going to have to make some people grumpy, and you just got to accept that, right?
Yeah.
That's like tough.
I had this conversation with my mother recently. She was a little offended, I think, about some people I was deciding not to invite who are family. And
That's tough.
I'm not one of these people who's like, if I haven't seen them in 10 years, I feel like we have this mystic connection because we're family in some really distant way that I have to invite them to this thing. And it turns out that's not a very popular opinion with some folks. So.
Well, that's where I benefit from being the son of an immigrant.
Yeah.
Like, the family that I'm not inviting doesn't speak English.
Okay.
Lives in some city I can't pronounce the name of, that type of thing. Eastern European.
Maybe slightly disinterested anyway.
Yeah. They might not even know that I exist, to be fair. So that's a...
Oh, you luckies. Oh, man.
And again, we're going to Atlanta, so it makes the decision-making even easier. There's people where I'm like, when I don't invite them, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, there's
no way I was spending $1,000 to get myself and my wife to Atlanta to go to your dumb wedding. You idiot. So it works out nicely, I guess. But also it'll be tough to be like, that person would have been cool. And then do you run into people that you haven't seen in like 6 months? And you're like, we should totally invite this guy.
Yeah. I've had a little bit of that recently. People who may actually end up listening to this. I'm not going to get too specific, I run into folks who I haven't seen in a while. They're like, congratulations, and they want to know when the date is. And I'm like, your invite will be in the mail.
Got to go home and add that to the list. Yeah. That's $75 each more. Yeah. Damn it.
Oh, God.
I got in trouble because didn't invite Chewbacca. He's real mad at me now. Sorry, I shouldn't.
The production quality of this show is incredible.
Thank you. Already I've pushed buttons and been on top of it. That's great. It's challenging. It's crazy. Easy to be a community-oriented person. You're a guy that does a lot for the city of Everett, so you by nature end up meeting a ton of people, and then you have to make decisions on that. What's your current job? What do you do?
So my real job, when I don't get to hang out here and pretend to be a DJ, is I run the Downtown Everett Association, which is a nonprofit that basically works with the city to help supplement some different clean and safe programs and some marketing efforts and just kind of trying to help make downtown Everett better.
Yeah.
It would sort of be the short answer.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where is downtown Everett at right now on the betterness scale?
I think, in relation to where it was, even just like 4 years ago, I'd say we're pretty high.
Okay.
Compared to where I want to be, I think we're probably about a 6.
Oh, okay, cool. So you've given yourself a lot of room to grow.
We've got places to go.
So you started at like, what, a 3?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Look, there's a bunch of stereotypes that go into any place. Like if you say Seattle to someone that's not from here, they say grunge. Okay, that's like one of the first things they think of. Space Needle, Rain, those types of things. Unfortunately, about Everett, I think there's like a lot of... And if you're from Everett, just chill out, okay? I don't mean any...
Oh, no. Everybody's going to be like, yeah, he's right.
I don't mean any disrespect, but the stereotypes around it are... depends on how far back...
I can't wait to hear what you say.
It depends on how far back you go. I think of factory workers.
Okay.
Because of Boeing. So I think Boeing, the people that would work there, probably have pretty kick-ass jobs working at Boeing as contractors or something like that. I think of Camaros. I think of just kind of like a tougher, more suburban, less refined version of Seattle.
So let me just stop you.
Okay, great. So, that means I nailed it.
So my first car was a 1989 Chevy Camaro with T-tops.
Suck
electric
it.
Blue.
Yeah.
Which I dubbed the Temple of Boom 1.0 because I threw some big subs in the back.
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
Okay, I just figured out how old you are now. That's amazing.
Well, yeah. And then the you're pretty much spot on. But things are changing. And
okay, but the stereotypes. I hate to operate in a world of stereotypes. But that's kind of it's a working town, kind of tough.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we've got a group of people who want to kind of try and go the other direction. Oh, it's beautiful. We have, you know, these sweeping water views and the Cascades and the Olympics. And
you got a lot of military up there too, maybe?
We've got the Navy base.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful facility. It's right on the water, obviously. And
the Navy bases that are on land.
That are not on the water. That's always weird.
Yeah, it's tough.
But the real version of Everett that we have right now is... I think a lot of people who are proud of sort of where we've been and see where we're headed, and it is becoming more refined, but it's sort of unapologetically blue collar and tough, I think.
Yeah.
And I like that.
There's like a certain punk rock to that. Like not the idea of like stepping out against things, but like I think of like when you say those things, I think of like a Mike Ness and a Social Distortion, just a kind of town that likes to like work hard and kind of rock a little bit, like without being, I'm just using big cliches, but that's kind of how I feel about Everett. That and the fact that as I'm getting towards Everett, I know that the traffic's starting to suck more and that I'm like on my way to Bellingham or something like that. That's going to be a slow spot.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. That's just how that goes. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, we're big on the arts. There's a lot of really great public art installations all around downtown. There's sculptures, and we've got this great big mural that's been going up, or this mosaic in front of this really beautiful the Village Theater, the Everett Performing Arts Center. This huge wall that wraps around and has ledges for seating all the way around, and this artist has been putting together this mirrored mosaic for, gosh, like 3 or 4 years now. And it's like finally done or almost done. But we have the oldest active theater this side of the Rockies in the historic Everett Theater. Tons of people have performed there from, you know, way, way back. It's a landmark. But we also have, during the summertime, free music, like 4 nights a week.
Oh, wow.
Very accessible. And it's everything from kind of like classic jazzy type stuff to My Friend and Yours, Scotty Smith and Fauna Shade.
Sure.
Out just blowing out people's eardrums for free on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, even coming up, this was something that I worked on for the last couple of years, and I'm really excited to see where they go from here. The Fisherman's Village Music Festival is coming up in May, and it's going to be, I think there are some things that I know about it that are going to really blow people's minds.
Are you not responsible for that?
Not anymore.
Okay.
I worked on it for the last couple of years, and Everett Music Initiative for the last 4, and I am no longer a part of those things, but they're in like the most capable hands possible.
Did you
right
hand
now.
That off?
I was a partner on it. Yeah. Me and my friend Ryan Crowther started that about 4 years ago with the Everett Music Initiative. And, you know, things change. Schedules change.
Sure, of course.
Getting married.
Yeah.
And time commitments become a little bit different. But the path going forward for those guys looks really good. I'm really excited about what the festival is going to bring this year.
I talked to a guy called RC recently, and he's involved in the ska scene, and he said that there's still some Everett ska that's out there. There's still some like North End ska bands and punk rock that happens, which I think is fantastic.
I have a cousin who plays in a band called the Scoblins.
Yeah, I saw that name. They're going to play at Ska Fest. Check out a previous episode with RC Macris. He talked all about it, and he showed me his lineup, his bill for it, his poster, and definitely the Scoblins is on there, which is
that's my cousin Gordon White.
Shout-outs to Gordon. That's
go,
cool.
Go see the Scoblins.
So, what makes Everett like you've been able to assemble this? Okay, the Fisherman's Village Music Festival was the thing that features a ton of local bands. Okay,
yeah, it's the last 2 years it's been 70 to 80 bands all around the Pacific Northwest, but we also had some from outside of this country. I mean, we had bands from Canada come down.
Wow, cool.
As far as Chad Valley to the UK.
Well, I mean, what's the scene like in Everett itself? Like, what's the music? Because, like, you think of Seattle being the place that you talk about, oh, they're playing the Tractor, and that's a big deal. They're playing the Sunset. Oh, that's cool, or whatever. But until meeting you, or really online, seeing you talking about it, I didn't know that there was even a scene. And that's very foolish of me to not know that. But what's the Everett scene like? Like, what's the makeup of bands and stuff?
Well, it's growing. It's really kind of incredible to see the stuff that's coming out of it right now. Obviously Fauna Shade, I think one of the best bands around right now.
Yeah,
not just like from Everett, but Seattle, wherever they are. Absolutely. Their new EP, go pick it up. It's called the Floral Hall EP. It's for just like, it's incredible.
Cool.
What they're doing is great. Then you've got I Will Keep Your Ghost, which is really great, like dancey electronic rock stuff.
Wasn't Perfume Genius Everett?
Perfume Genius, my understanding is that Mill Creek-ish, very close to Everett.
Sure.
God, they're doing great.
Yeah.
That's really awesome to watch the television performances and touring all over the world. It's pretty awesome to see that coming out of here. We've got this great band called Tellers, formerly Preacher's Wife. They just changed their name to Tellers. They've got a new EP coming out soon. They're going to be releasing up in Everett with Moto Pony, who obviously, you know, one of our favorite Seattle bands. They've been a Locals Only Artist of the Month. That's going to be a pretty cool show to see up at the banquet hall at the Elks Lodge up in Everett. I want to say it's April 16th. Go to that. It's going to be really fun. A band called Crystal Desert, which reminds me of some stuff I was into in high school, almost some AFI vibes on the vocals.
Cool,
or some of it reminds me a little like Knights of Sidonia type sounding
stuff.
If you're into Muse. we've got a lot of really talented people up there.
Now, before the Everett Music Initiative was the thing that you guys kind of put together, were these bands able to coagulate into a scene, or did it take somebody spearheading a thing to get it all together?
I think it needed some help. It needed some organization. There was a really great open mic that was going on every Thursday night at a bar down there for a while. That was sort of the scene. It was kind of how you could go and see who was doing what around town. But then when the Everett Music Initiative came along and things started to get a little more organized, and there was, you just have to be deliberate sometimes in sort of your focus and how you do things. And I think that was really all it took. And now, I mean, these bands are getting recognition, not just in Everett, but they're playing, Tellers, formerly Preacher's Wife, they played Summer Meltdown Festival.
Sure.
I Will Keep Your Ghost played Capitol Hill Block Party last summer with like Sub Pop bands and at Numo's. It's really cool. Fauna Shade is playing Sasquatch this year, which is
super
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, so when you see that kind of stuff going on, and you see it kind of, these guys, you know, they start to get known and they get these opportunities outside of our community in Everett. That's really, I mean, probably the best part of what's happening up there is seeing people figure out kind of, all right, I can take the show on the road a little bit. And like, I Will Keep Your Ghost and Greet to See, or Greet the Sea. Those guys, Greet the Sea, sort of a Snohomish County band. A couple of the guys, I think, recently relocated to Seattle, but they practice up in Everett. I mean, those guys just went on a little short tour over to Eastern Washington and hit a few spots with I Will Keep Your Ghost. It's so great to see, you know, they're packing places in different cities, and
especially
awesome.
Since we take it for granted how much music there is here, but you go to smaller towns and there's nothing going on, especially like anything non-country, or you know, there's a lot of that.
Well, and that's non-country, that's the trick. I just saw the lineup for the Evergreen State Fair. Really white. There's a lot
State
of country
Fair,
stuff.
So white.
Yeah, but you see, you see whatever it was when I was like in high school, and there was some cool stuff that was going on where you could go see a band like The Fall of Troy, which I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, but they're like a Muckle Tio Everett band that, I mean, they ended up being featured on Guitar Hero. They ended up doing some big things all over the country. But I used to see bands like that play in sweaty basements or on the roof at the YMCA, like weird punk rock stuff. And then that sort of seemed to go away for a while in like my early to mid 20s.
Yeah.
And so to see it now, with shows happening almost weekly, the guys at the helm of the Everett Music Initiative teamed up with a venue called Tony V's Garage that's recently bigger and remodeled.
Yeah, that, all of a sudden the name's been popping up.
Yeah, they're doing shows there almost every weekend. And just like on St. Patty's Day, Fauna Shade played with Lonely Mountain Lovers, which is one of my favorite Seattle bands right now. And to be able to go and see, I would be in trouble if I didn't mention Choir of Crickets, another Everett band that played that show that people just love.
Cool.
To see, you know, a real venue that's understanding the importance of not just live music, but good live music,
mm-hmm.
quality live music. At a certain point, you have to say, we have a standard that we're going to employ.
But you have to have the bands there to be able to do it. You
exactly.
can't, like, you have to have built that scene a little bit. It sounds like it was kind of serendipitous that it was time for there to be a venue for the bands that are coming up.
Absolutely.
Well, what got you, like, what bridged this gap from being a kid liking punk rock and hanging out in Everett to trying to organize it, to becoming a community organizer like that?
So when I was about 19 years old, I was working at Allstate Insurance.
Okay.
And in the claims department.
Yeah.
And I got a claim for a guy named Marco Collins. And you may know this name.
He's been on this podcast before.
he probably spent a lot of time in this room once upon a time.
We have a reel-to-reel tape machine back here, and I've got so much tape with Marco on it that they
Marco
used for his documentary.
Marco might have built that thing. I'm not sure.
Marco definitely did not build that thing. Okay, he had an engineer build it for him.
And I ended up realizing who I was talking to, you know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame DJ Marco Collins.
Of course,
I ended up later on hitting him up on MySpace. Be like, hey man, I'm the guy who...
I'm your insurance adjuster.
Yeah, exactly. And just basically telling him, like, you know, I know who you are. and I'm a big fan, and I'd love to like pick your brain on some stuff at some point. And he let me kind of like intern for him. I'm making finger quotes right now. Basically, we just worked on a couple of marketing projects for some bands he was working with at the time. And the just sort of the look behind the curtain I got a little bit, and hearing the insane stories that, you know, things that are in his movie, or,
yeah,
but things that maybe he probably didn't necessarily get a chance to share on air or like fully explain what happened.
Right.
To get like the full story on some of that stuff, I was just blown away. Some of it was a little terrifying, but because I mean, you know, his background is wild. But
see the movie, yeah, it's
yeah,
awesome.
see the glamour and the squalor. It people were in tears. I shed a tear. It was a really beautiful film. But he really kind of made me, I was like, I want to be in radio, but I don't want to go to school. It was kind of
conveniently
how I felt.
That's something that is very possible. Radio and not going to school,
yeah,
go
well,
hand in hand.
It's you know, and now I'm getting, you know, jump forward 10 years. I'm getting the opportunity to do locals only, which is really a dream come true for me. And I mean, it's to say it's an honor is an understatement. Like to come in here and sit in front of the microphone and talk to my favorite bands and play their music.
Well, and essentially pull a Marco Collins when it was Young and the Restless?
Young and the Restless, yeah.
Is what he did way back in the day as the locals only guy,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah.
It's the same show, so you're doing with the thing that you got to see.
Yeah, I mean, just the people who, I mean, Marco, Megan Selling, Pepper, people who have done that show. Bryce did it for a while. It's, I mean, it's pretty cool to be sort of in that club a little bit to be part of that, because I think our local music scene here is, I mean, it's amazing. It's you look around the country and I think it rivals just anybody. And coincidentally, I think the next closest thing to Seattle is probably Portland, which is, you know, really close. But
it's crazy geographically how far away these cities are from the rest of the nation. So
exactly.
It's hard to break out of, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, we talk about that all the time. Pepper and I used to talk about that a lot when she was when I was her co-host and we were doing the show together. Was every time we would see, like, Moto Pony went on, like, a worldwide tour and played in India and got to go record at Abbey Road and do all this stuff, and we were like, wow, that's so great. And, you know, Joseph from Portland just got signed to ATO, and, you know, they're getting all these official showcases at South By. And,
yeah.
And you see, like, Radiation City is just released a new music video, and it's on every piece of music media you can find. I mean, it's really, really cool to see what's coming out of here and to have an opportunity to be one of the many people who are kind of championing that scene and trying to get that in front of people and in their ears, like, feels really cool. I like it a lot.
Absolutely. It's interesting when you say that we have a scene that can kind of compete with a bunch of the other ones. I was just in New York and it seems like there's a ton of music there, but it until you like get entrenched into a neighborhood, it must be hard to find where the bands actually are.
Yeah.
And everything. Seattle, it's very obvious.
Yeah.
It feels like. And so how about Everett? I mean, is it becoming to the point now where people know where to go in Everett to find the music?
I think so. I think there are a couple of places. We used to own a venue called The Cannery. Me and my old partner, Ryan Crowther, it was sort of the home base for the Everett Music Initiative. And
And you guys owned the venue?
Yeah. Well, we leased the space, but it was our business. And it was basically, we only did like, it wasn't a bar that was open, you know, 7 days a week. It was open just when we wanted to throw shows. So like 4 days a month or so. And it was a ton of fun. And we basically, you know, made enough just to keep the doors open. And then somebody bought the building and decided they wanted to turn it all into office space. So that was sort of the hub for a while. And now, right, not long after, it was only like 5 months or so after we got kind of tossed out of there, that the new Tony V's opened up, and that place is pretty cool. It has a big pit sort of right in front of the stage, and then there's a divider behind that, and then you go up a little bit of a level, like half a level, and you can stand up above, so you can see above everybody's heads that are down in front, which is great.
As a fellow tall person, I know that people...
they hate us.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. If you're over 6 foot, like, everybody at the concert hates you.
And you know what? I say, then let me stand in front of the pole that's keeping the roof up, because exactly. That's blocking your view anyway.
Exactly.
Jerks.
Yeah. So it's really, I think people are starting to know, like, that's the spot. And, you know, with all the free music during the summer, people know, you know, Wednesday nights, it's at the plaza in front of the Village Theater. On Thursday nights, it's down at the marina. On Saturday nights, it's down at the marina. And it's really kind of cool to see people sort of, you see a lot of the same faces migrate from here to there.
Cool.
And they're just, you know, they're music people. They just love it.
I think traditionally people that go to shows are, you know, this is obvious, I guess, but it's a younger demo. It's people that are going to go support from high school through about your 30s, I think, is what you normally see at a concert.
Yeah, not in Everett.
Really?
Yeah. It's some of the people that I see out at shows most regularly that are like the most loyal of loyal are, I mean, these are people in their 60s.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, we have that 20 to 30, you know, 21 to 35 demo like nailed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in there that go to shows all the time. But there is a core of older folks that are very excited to have something to do, and they want to go out and grab a drink and see some good tunes.
Well, what's the differentiation, do you think, between Everett is definitely more suburban. Like, there's definitely more, I think if you're going to buy a house, you can just look at basic details and find out that you're not going to afford one in Seattle, but you might be able to afford it in Everett.
That's one of the reasons I'm there.
Yeah.
That's why I bought a house there, and I'm probably going to be staying there for quite a while because it's affordable.
But then you add in high five commutes of an hour and back and forth, and you're never going to be able to go back and forth very easily.
It's definitely a challenge. It's we're hoping for that light rail.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I think what's they saying? 2025, I think, is what they're talking about.
Convenient.
I can wait.
So how hungry are the people that you're servicing up there by giving this opportunity to have live music and to have opportunities for art and stuff? What's the thirst for it? Like?
I think every time there's an opportunity for any art, we have the Shack Arts Center, and they have events in there, all kinds of different mediums. Glass blowing, sculptures, paintings, drawings, screen printing. People come out in droves. I mean, people are thrilled to have something to do. Every time a new exhibit opens, they go. Every time, there's a show, people go. When summer comes around and it's time, that first music at the marina, the place, I mean, if you're not there an hour and a half early, you're not getting in.
Wow.
So it's really, I think the people are hungry for it. I think that a lot of people maybe didn't realize just how hungry until there started being more opportunities. And I think it's really encouraging. I think for even just somebody who wants to make a home and a life in that community, to see people coming together and making an effort to, build this platform and maintain it, which is, you know, what those guys are doing.
Does Seattle still feel like the goal, do you think, for people of Everett that are either creative or non-creative? Does Seattle still feel like the goal, or is it almost unattainable now?
I don't think it's... You mean the goal for, like, a place to perform or a place to move, or...
Sure.
I think it's definitely attainable, especially, you know, as a place to move. I think you just need to ask yourself what your quality of life situation, what your standard is. I think that, don't get me wrong, I love Seattle.
Yeah, of course.
I really love it up here. I just don't want to fight for parking all the time.
Yeah, my whole point of this is that I think that it's easy for people in Seattle to have these judgments of Everett, that it's like all the stereotypes that I listed at the beginning, and that maybe there's an air of superiority that comes from that, from not taking the time to understand it. And so I wonder, as you build a community in Everett, if the look back at Seattle is like, well, screw you, we got it good up here.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I think that there are a lot of people who definitely feel that way, that I grew up stealing my mom's Jeep to try to go to whatever all ages show was happening in Seattle, the Moore or the Paramount, or even I used to go to stuff at Studio 7 and when I was in high school.
Before you got the sweet Camaro.
Before I got the sweet Camaro. Sweet. And no, actually, I had the Camaro. I just wasn't super, it wasn't reliable enough to make the trek to the big city.
Sure.
You know? So I would borrow my mom's Jeep Grand Cherokee, 1996.
They were still so boxy back then. Those were awesome.
I think they're actually making those again, kind of.
But it doesn't look the same.
The Patriot or something.
But the old ones had the, like that was back when the wood paneling, the wood grain still, like, real big. Maybe 96 is towards the end of that.
Wait, what do you mean? That's not popular anymore?
Oh, am I besmirching Everett right now?
another stereotype! But, you know, so, and I still come to shows in Seattle all the time. It's just, you don't have to drive 40 minutes. Now you don't have to pay $10 to $15 for parking. You don't have to pay $10-$12 per drink. you know, if you take advantage of the shows that are right there in our hometown of Everett now. So it's pretty cool to see that. But yeah, I mean, I still come down for shows all the time. One of my favorite places to go see music is the Fremont Abbey Arts Center.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I love that.
Anyone listening that hasn't had a chance to go see something there, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so serene and quiet inside.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah, great.
And it's like, I'm still, you know, I'm 29. I like to think I'm still relatively young. Don't let the hairline fool you. but sometimes I like to sit down.
Sure.
And not try to listen to music over a whole bunch of people talking. They're there trying to find someone to take home that night or something. I want to enjoy the music. And you go to a place like the Fremont Abbey, and it's like everybody understands, all right, now it's time to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Nathan is here to introduce the artists, and we're just going to be quiet and listen. And if you need to refill your drink, you wait until it's time. And so that kind of setting, I think there's a place for it. I mean, I love, you know, a sweaty rock and roll show at the Crocodile just as much as, or at the Chop Suey or something.
Yeah, but I'm definitely guilty of being the guy that drank too much and was blathering in the background at the Croc and not at Fremont Abbey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody, you know, you go with somebody and it's loud. You're trying to scream things in their ear and then the music stops and you're that guy that, didn't you want another drink? And all the other volume goes down and everyone looks at you like a jackass. Yeah.
How did you get involved with Pepper? How did you make that bridge that gap?
Oh, man. So I met Pepper like 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
She wasn't working at the end. I think she was still a DJ in Nevada down in Vegas.
Yeah, we were working together down there.
That's, oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
So she and I first met Pepper when she was still called Ashley,
mm-hmm.
and we were working at X107.5 in Las Vegas, and she was a local there that got some part-time hours, and I worked there for a very brief amount of time before getting blown out and losing my job there, and we shared a computer that I would do the mornings and she would do the afternoons, making extra hours doing graphic design for the radio station, for their websites, because banner ads were still a big deal back then.
Right.
that was the business model back in 2008.
I'm really thrilled that we've moved on.
Yeah, me as well. And so I moved up to Seattle for this gig at the end, and she sent me a text message or an email being like, hey, can you help me connect the dots with a guy up there? I'm just going to move back to Seattle. Screw this place. She had lived here for a little while, and so I was able to open some doors here, and then we ended up working together again, and then
that's
she left
so cool.
And came back again, and when she came back that second time, she started doing locals only because they were making sailing and moved on.
Yeah, so Pepper and I had met in a end session in the ends acoustic end session tent at Sasquatch
cool.
like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think we were both sitting on the floor waiting for, it was a really crazy day. It was either Matt and Kim or the Head and the Heart. And it was like right when the Head and the Heart,
yeah,
right after Sub Pop re-released the record and
yeah.
things started going really, really well for them. And we were just talking and I was like, man, she's cool as hell. And we ended up just exchanging Twitter handles, and next thing I know, flash forward like 3 years, Pepper is in Seattle and I'm hearing her on the end all of a sudden. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I start looking on, I meant to inquire as to if this was the same person. And I kind of forgot about it after that drive. And maybe 2 weeks later, I was at a show at Numo's, and I saw on Twitter she was posting photos from the same show I was at. And I was like, wait a second. And so I tracked her down, and she's like, yeah, I'm working at the end now. And she had me in as a guest on Locals Only a couple of times. And the second time I was in as a guest, she pulled me aside after and said, hey, I had an idea. What do you think about coming in and hosting the show with me? And I went, yeah, anytime. Just let me know. And she's like, no, like, all the time.
Starting this weekend and forever.
What? And, you know, we sat down with the boss at the time and hashed out some details. And I think he wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. And
you were a safe bet.
Yeah. And it, man, you know, we had a lot of fun for like 9 or 10 months or so. And now, through a wild turn of events, I'm in there doing it without her, kind of by myself.
And... I mean, it's all bands that you're into right now. Yeah. It's all bands that you get to see. And
yeah.
I don't know how to ask this exactly, but like, it's got to be kind of surreal that now you're directly influencing a scene.
Oh,
on a bigger level than even just Everett.
I think that it's really... So I started writing about music for the Everett Herald probably about 6 years ago,
yeah.
before you know, things really started to blossom up there. And... And that was just a community blog. And every now and then they pay me to write a feature about something, if it was like something big and local.
Sure.
But that was wild for me. I was like, man, the Everett Herald's giving me a platform on their website. And, you know, for a kid from Everett, I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't have a journalism background. And I just have opinions. And and then to, you know, jump forward and have now... a show on the radio station that I've been listening to my whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to listen to Marco back in the day, and then I'd listen to music on the end, like from the time that I got home from school. I had this little alarm clock radio in my bedroom that I won as a prize from selling a bunch of stuff out of the catalogs at school that they used to make you take around and try and sell, like,
yeah,
candy and wrapping paper and junk to your family. I got an alarm clock out of that. I would listen to the radio on that in my bedroom. And then at night, when my parents thought I was asleep, I would turn it back on at 10 o'clock to listen to Loveline on the end from 10 to midnight. And now I have a show on the same radio station that, like, all these people that have been, you know, kind of like icons to me, DJ No Name, Marco Collins, Gregor.
Hey there.
Nerd Talk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I don't take it lightly, and I hope I don't piss anybody off and I get to keep doing it.
I think there's a perception in a town like Seattle, and this is where it's interesting to get somebody that's from one of the suburbs,
yeah,
different take. In Seattle, there's a perception that there's a KEXP and there's the end, okay? Mm-hmm. And no matter how the end has been run throughout the course of the last 10 years, I feel like KEXP is the local station fighting for the little guy, okay? And the end is kind of the big, dumb corporate radio station. And so now that you're in a position where you're doing a show and you're working with the art community, the people that are sustaining the local music of Seattle and the greater area, do you find that those are kids that are from around here that are just as excited as you are to be at the end getting to showcase their things?
Absolutely. And it's so funny because I remember right before I came in to start doing the show, one of the conversations that Pepper and I had was she was really frustrated because there was an artist that she was playing on Locals Only quite frequently, like, yeah, every week. And they never said anything. Then their song, which she had been playing, was played on KEXP, and they created like a Facebook event for it and like screenshotted the thing on their app and posted it and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And she went, I don't know what do we do? And it was pretty easy to realize that was when Locals Only was 11 to midnight on Sunday nights. It was, yeah, buried. I was like, yeah, they don't know you're playing their music. So having it be a 2-hour time slot from 8 to 10, I mean, I wish that Locals Only was 1 hour every single day. I mean, I think that would be amazing. And then, you know, maybe I could get some more work out of it. But you know, now that it's a 2-hour format and we bring a guest in every week, I guess now I bring a guest in every week, and you see these people, they come in, they freak out. They walk through and they're like, wow, look at these, you know, platinum records on the wall. And, you know, there's Marco's name on a, you know, this record. And you see their eyes light up and it's like, this is still a pretty cool thing. I mean, KEXP is its own animal, but, you know, to have 2 hours to showcase what I think is the best music in the Pacific Northwest. And I mean, we're very Portland friendly all the way up to,
of course,
you know, Bellingham, and I've played stuff from Spokane. I think...
Don't paint yourself into a corner by being, we're a local show and that means Seattle only, because it's no fun then.
I mean, it would be really a crime if we weren't using locals only as a platform to show people what's happening in Portland. I mean, the stuff in Portland, pure bathing culture, Radiation City, Wild Ones is... Wild Ones is one of my favorite bands. I got to interview Wild Ones. I got to sit right where you're sitting. And they came in here and I got to interview them right the week their record was released. And they were on tour with the Helio Sequence, who I also got to interview in
here.
I mean, in the Helio Sequence, another Portland band, Sub Pop band.
Yeah.
We play a lot of stuff from all over the area. And Bellingham's got a scene that is just... really incredible. Last Sunday on Locals Only, I had Grant from Manatee Commune come in, and he's out of Bellingham, and now he's a Seattle guy, and he just sold out the Nectar and then went up to Bellingham and sold out the Wild Buffalo. And he's been to Bonnaroo and Sasquatch, and he's going to be playing a festival up in Victoria, BC, I think next month or in May, with Bahamas and like Pickwick, which is a great Seattle band. DJ Jazzy Jeff is on the bill. So I mean, we gotta reach outside of Seattle and look at what's happening around the area. And I think not being a Seattle guy, you know, being from sort of out of town a little bit, I think maybe helps me out in that regard.
What's one band that you would want people to check out right now if they could just stop and like go hop online and listen to a bunch of music from them?
Go listen to Fauna Shade.
Stephen Graham, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at Gregor1077 and find more episodes online at 1077theend.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.